to describe your evolution as a teacher of diversity and social justice.
My evolution as a teacher. Mm-hmm. I've been teaching at the university level since 1990. Hmm. So, you know, 24 years, where does it start? It probably started right away. One of my first teaching experiences was teaching sociology of minorities as a grad student. Mm-hmm. So, in social problems and intro to sociology. So my background is in kinesiology, but I did most of my doctoral work in sociology because I'm a sociologist of sport. So, and the reason why I was interested in sociology of sport is based on issues around social justice. And I continue the same kind of research today, which is just creating more humane, democratic forms of sport. That's kind of my goal. And so, I don't know, it's never, I don't know if there's been, like, points where I'm going, yes, I'm, teacher of social justice and diversity at this point in my life, because I guess it's always been part of my being. I could even go further back into my own experiences as a non-conforming gendered person. And the awareness of power, forms of inclusion and exclusion were apparent to me probably when I was like 5 or 6, you know, so it's always been part of how I see the world. I think anybody who's not totally in the mainstream, it's easier to have a sociological perspective on power dynamics and being included and excluded in centrally into everyday forms of living. So, you know, I'm 50, right? So I was one of the first Title IX babies, and so I got to participate in sport because it was structurally available. My parents were incredibly supportive. But it was really obvious about who got priority. So there's just a bunch of experience about being a non-traditional gendered female person in the world that, almost everyday life kind of, everyday life kind of experiences. And I love sport. So wanting sport to be more open to people has motivated me in probably everything I do. So it's like a thread throughout a variety of different perspectives. So, I don't know. So, my research is on gender, race, and class kind of dynamics in sport. I teach sociology of sport, racism class. Historically, I've taught, like, gender and sport. We don't have that here. So I guess it's hard to, like, say this was, like, a moment in my life where I knew I was going to do it, because I think through my whole life, you know, I've been aware of power dynamics, and then most specifically gender power dynamics. And as I got older and had more experiences, class and racial dynamics as well. So, I mean, there's no specific moment, I think. I have a degree in history. My bachelor's degree is in history. I thought I was going to be a high school teacher. I went to be a high school teacher, and I was terrible. And I was also coaching at the high school at the same time, so looked into how can I get paid to actually coach. So you have to get a master's in physical education. So I went and got my master's, and through that experience realized that I'd rather be teaching than coaching, and at a university level, and it's been around what I've stated before. So I guess it's just my desire for creating some sort of change, consciousness change, maybe actual change.
What are some of your aims and goals of teaching? Could you say more about that? It's kind of what you're already starting to say.
There's no doubt. I mean, the words are so, like, overused. I hate it. So being empowered is, like I want students to feel like their voice counts. Because obviously being marginalized historically, you know, your voice doesn't get as, you know, it doesn't get heard as much, right? And so, for me, education and sport, even though I was kind of on the outskirts of both in some ways, they were both really powerful experiences for me to feel powerful. Although, at the exact same time, marginalized. So, I knew there was power in both education and sport, so I just wanted to create And when people actually took my voice seriously, that's when it became really, really powerful. So I know it's not just an individual, I mean, individuals do that, but it's how we structure things as well. And so it's more than just one person. Like, I have a sociological mindset, I can't help it. It's like, it's a structure of how we do things. So education to me can be an incredibly powerful experience for students and myself continuing. If students actually get to have a say in what's going on, what's important. You know, we can talk about pedagogy. My pedagogy evolves all the time. So, but just that, to sort of give credit to different perspectives and different voices, and to have, I don't know how, I can't say I do this, like there's a technique I do, A, B, and C, but my goal is definitely to develop empathy and compassion, but not in a patronizing way. So, like, looking at different perspectives and understanding where people are coming from without being patronizing is definitely one of my things to, like, give people's voices a little bit more power. So that's part of my teaching mode, I guess.
Would you say any more about, you referenced it being a powerful experience for yourself?
Oh yeah, totally.
Would you be willing to share more about that?
So I went to this nerdy little college for my bachelor's, right? This, I don't really want it.
Okay.
At Pomona College. It's a nerdy college, right? And I was surrounded by a bunch of nerds, right? And it was really cool to, like, study and talk about, well, politics was my big thing. And that was really fun. But I always felt like, I went to a public high school, I wasn't fully prepared for that kind of a nerdy school. And I didn't feel quite super, like, I mean, I did well, but still, whatever. I mean, I just felt like I wasn't quite the same level of nerdiness. And then I went to a public graduate program, Northern Colorado. And the pedagogy there was amazing. And I learned very fast that when you teach at a nerdy school, you don't have to be a very good teacher, because the kids do it for themselves, but they teach each other. I mean, it's great if there are, but when you're at a public university, boy, man, the teaching, it really comes out. And I had some sociology professors and some kinesiology professors where it just was a different take on the world. Like, I don't even know exactly what it was, but all of a sudden, like, you know, it was your voice. It wasn't just memorizing stuff and facts and learning how to do research in a traditional way, which that's all good, right? It was much more, you could be overtly political. That's, I think, what it was. Like, before, it was like, don't be subjective, you know, blah, blah, blah. And we don't want to get biases involved. And, I mean, I was going to college in the early 80s, right? And, I mean, there was no feminist group on camp. There was nothing like that. It's a pretty conservative school, or it was. So going to Northern Colorado, it was encouraged to be political. And so to really have your voice in your work. So I think that was probably the most important thing. Yeah. And sociology, to me, is very freeing, because it looks at structure versus individuals, so it doesn't make the individual weird, it makes structure weird. So I totally appreciate that.
Are there any other personal, family, or social events or factors also that you would contribute to what's brought you here?
Well, yeah. It's hard to put in a nutshell. Like, I definitely had, like most families, there's a lot of contradictions. But I definitely grew up with a family who, I would say, was liberal. Not radically liberal, but liberal. I felt very supported, as my parents loved me. And I never doubted that. So I always had the support of my parents. And they, you know, encouraged me to do whatever I thought was important, they were encouraging me to do. And I have three brothers who are really supportive. So, like, the family is supportive of me being non-traditional, and nobody forced me to, like, oh, you should be. Like, I didn't grow up with, like, my family was a relatively safe place for my gender identity. But outside of that, it wasn't as much. So the definitely feeling security through family is important. But they were sexist at the same time. So I don't know how to explain it. There was just, I mean, I talked to my parents about this. Like, there was double standards in the family, and there was sexism. And they're like, yeah, but that's my parents. They're open to talking about it. But it was, because it was their generation. They were doing their best. But, you know, But they were definitely politically involved people, so, especially my mom. So seeing activism on my mom's side was, I think, empowering.